Hey, it's Jamie Scrimger. When I became a stepmom, I quickly realized that while moms are encouraged to keep it real, there's a big double standard when it comes to stepmoms. So I decided to start the conversation myself. Thriving as a stepmom doesn't just come from conversations about being a stepmom, though. Here, we dive into marriage, relationships, personal growth, and more. My mission? Inspire you to live a kick-ass life while bringing you along as I create my own. This is the Kick-Ass Stepmom Podcast.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Stepmom Podcast. Guys, we've got another real housewife in the house today. Well, not in the house, on Zoom. And full transparency, I was sweating interviewing this one because I have to tell you, sometimes I get guests on this show and I'm like, how the heck did we swing this one? And this guest is one of them. So Carolyn Stanberry from The Real Housewives of Dubai is on the show. She is the host of the Uncut Uncensored podcast, formerly Divorce Not Dead. She's an entrepreneur, a creator, a mother, a wife, a co-parent, and all the things. She is a boss babe, and she doesn't hold anything back in this episode. We talk about marriage, life after 40, her facelift, her marriage to a much younger man, divorce, co-parenting, how her kids responded to a new father figure who is close to their age. And I think we even talked about BJ's. We literally covered it all. And on that note, let's dive right into the episode with Carolyn Stanberry. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Stepmom Podcast. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me. I love being on.
Yeah. Well, I have been doing a deep dive into you and your story in the last little while. I got to say, I was listening to when your podcast was Divorce Not Dead. I think it was like one of your first episodes or your first episode. And it was on, this is like Life Begins at 40 or something like that. And you were telling your story of, you know, getting divorced and like the stage that you were in. And I would love to kind of start there because maybe for those who aren't familiar with the shows and don't know your story, I'd like to talk about chapter one and how we got to this place because you're recently remarried and you've got this whole new, you call it chapter two. So many good nuggets in there that I'd love to dive into.
So I think that when I got divorced, most women don't get divorced overnight. I kind of thought about it for a while. Not that anything was particularly wrong. I just think that, you know, you kind of go through that stage of what next. And I think that women have been conditioned that in their 40s, nobody's ever going to date them again, marry them again, and you're kind of over the hill and that's it for you. And that's simply not true. I've had a whole new life. So you get stuck in this sort of should I, shouldn't I kind of stage. So I think one of my first podcasts is I now pronounce you ex-wife or something like that. And I think once you've ripped the Band-Aid off, the most uncomfortable place to be is indecision. And once you've done that, actually, any place that you end up is better than where you were. And I just feel like I'm in a completely different space. If I had stayed there, I would have been stuck in exactly the life I had. And it wasn't that terrible, don't get me wrong. But like, how boring. Like, that's it. There's nothing else for me. And, you know, if I think about where I am today, oh my God, I'm glad.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause you were married for 17 years, was it? 17 years?
18.
18. That's a long time to be married.
That's a lifetime.
That is a lifetime. That's a success to me.
It's very successful. And that's the point. And I always try and sort of, you know, point that out to my ex-husband too, that there's nothing to be ashamed of and nothing to feel bad about. Most people haven't even got through, you know, 3 years in a relationship, let alone 17 years with three kids or 18 years, sorry, with three kids mm-hmm. and everything else. So, you know, I consider it a complete success and I've never been happier as I am today.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I love how you talk about how life starts at 40, right? And how, you know, you feel so much more confident in yourself and who you are. And it's true. Society gives us these messages that it's almost too late. Like I was even in my head the other day about my career and what I'm doing. And I was like, oh, I'm just not where I thought I would be at this age. And like, is it too late for me? Am I too old? Like, what the hell? Like that is so screwed up, right? To be in my late 30s and think, well, maybe it's too late for me to do A, B, and C.
Most people don't find their purpose until they're sort of mid to late 30s. And a lot of people don't make their successful comeback or success until they're in their 40s because, you know, you have to try a lot of different things and shoes and hats and be able to pivot. And the life of an entrepreneur and learning who you are is to make mistakes and is to fail and is to try a lot of things. Again, I wear so many hats today, my head wants to spin off. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm the most relaxed about anything I've ever been in. And I'm in the right relationship, which gives you the freedom to be and do whatever you want. And again, like, I mean, most of you will have heard by now out there that I've done a facelift. And that just took, you know, years off me as well. And so I just don't feel my age. I don't feel ready to hang up my shoes in any way, shape, or form. And I'm so excited about life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I was actually going through the content on the facelift. And in my mind, like, what's the big deal? Like, I think it's great if that's what you want to do, right? Because if that's what you want to do, just do it, right? What's the big deal to have the conversation more and more about it, right? Like, what's the feedback you've got on that?
I don't think it's a big deal anymore at all. Like, the feedback's been amazing.
Yeah.
You'd have thought no one's ever had one. I was on the front cover of like Daily Mail, Page Six, Hollywood Reporter. I mean, I literally went viral. But I think it's because of my age and that I did it younger. And if you looked at me at BravoCon and all these places, I probably, most people said I didn't need it yet. But that's why I think it's a great time to have done it. First of all, you're young, you're healthy. You know, do I really care what I look like at 70? Probably not. This just gives me, you know, more confidence to go out and do what I'm doing. I'm on TV, but that's not what I did it. It was completely for me. And I'm over the moon. And everything that's happening and all the doors that are open for me. I mean, it is an uncomfortable thing to do. Obviously, it's not a lot of fun. But again, I pushed myself. I put faith in the process. I put faith in my own judgment. And I came out on top. And that's what I've learned over the years, that if you trust yourself, because of loads of people told me not to do it, loads. And now they're all jumping to do it. I think my doctor, the first day it came out, got about 50-something consults. I mean, everybody wants him because, you know, I think people have this really sort of old-fashioned view of facelifts from God knows when. Either you come out looking like a completely different person. And a lot of time, women want that. They want this beautification. They want to look, you know, different. I didn't. I wanted to look exactly like me, just, you know, a few years younger. And I think that, you know, people think of like the Bride of Wildenstein or like they've been caught in a wind tunnel. And that's just not modern day facelifts. I'm sure it happens, but mm-hmm. like, you know, that depends what you're asking for. I knew what I was asking for. I had pictures of what I wanted and I was very, very sure of what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks great.
Thank you.
I wouldn't have noticed that much. Like, you notice a difference, but not really, right? You really do look like yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I think really at this point, it's about confidence, right? And confidence in your decisions and confidence in how you're showing up. And I think that's a really big aspect of co-parenting and divorce and second marriages and all of that. It's really about like taking control of your life. And one thing that you said that I really loved, you said something along the lines of, you know, marriage is the cherry on top. Like, your relationship should be the cherry on top, not what you're just defining yourself as.
Well, I actually said that the man should be the cherry, not the cake.
Oh.
But yes, basically, you know, confidence is everything. And you can't teach, I mean, you can teach confidence, but you can't, you know, you can teach yourself to have the confidence. You can give yourself the things, little things. You don't have to go and have a full-on facelift. You know, like if someone's coming out of a bad relationship and they haven't had a good time or you've got divorced, like little things like your hair color, changing your style, getting new makeup. Like, I hadn't bought new makeup for myself in God knows, like 2 years, I guess, like, or 3 years, because I'm terrible because of the show. So I'm just always use the same stuff. And when I was in LA and I got my new face, I was like, fuck it, I'm going to Sephora, you know, and just bought all these new colors. And it was just so much fun to come home and experiment. And I never do stuff like that because I just never have time. And that's when I, you know, I've launched a masterclass now for women from Divorce Not Dead to teach women just to get their confidence, their mojo back and, you know, come out of this sort of and learn how to get divorced the right way. And there is a right way because, you know, there's a way not to lose all your money. There's a way not to lose your sanity. There's a way to come out of some sort of relationship with your ex and to build your confidence back. Because if you allow that to beat you, then, you know, we've all seen women collapse under the weight of divorce mm-hmm. and lawyers and the depression and everything else. And I never, ever allowed myself to look back or even contemplate thinking I could have made a mistake.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is holding women back from that confidence piece? Because I think that sometimes you have to act confident and then you find the confidence, right? Like when you're really kind of in that place where you're struggling, it's just gotta just do it.
Block out the noise. Don't listen to other people. Try and get a third party. That's, again, why I realized, you know, with all of you guys listening to me, I realized this was a great time or a very necessary time with the world. This, you know, I think 78% of marriages end in divorce. Well, I mean, that sounds depressing, or it could inspire you to understand that it's not the end of the world, that everyone kind of goes through it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and to prepare for it in a nice way. You know, go, okay, you know, I'm meant to have different stories. I'm meant to have different types of my life, because you grow and you don't want to be with the same person. And I want to show women in these classes as well with me that instead of looking at it like, you know, life is over, that life is just beginning, because it doesn't matter if you have to downsize. So what? If you've got good taste and you're fabulous, your fabulous little house is going to be amazing, because it's yours and it's all yours and the decisions are all yours. And the next step, even though you don't know where it is going, look at me, you know, like I married a 24-year-old. Mm-hmm. Literally, I should be, you know, in some sort of shithole, God knows where, you know, swaying back and forth. But I'm living my best life and I'm here like now, just doing what I want to do, which is, you know, meet all of these women again and teaching that confidence comes from within. And you could teach yourself confidence. I know a lot of people get scared and feel that the marriage and the friends and everything that came with it defines them, but it really doesn't. It really doesn't define you. And, you know, if you lose a few friends along the way, so be it. Mm-hmm. That's great. You know, some people are there for years and some people are there for the season. And you need to learn to let go. And it's okay. And not to go, oh my God, you know, what's wrong with me? Nothing's wrong with you. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Nothing. I think divorce can be a great thing, right? It's funny. My husband and I were talking the one day and he said, you know, we're just kind of like joking around. He's like, well, you're never going to leave me, right? And I said, I don't know. I said, I hope not. That's not the plan. I said, but if at some point in our marriage, we feel like this is not serving us anymore, we're not being our best selves and it's not salvaged, like you don't know what's going to happen. And he kind of was shocked that I said that. And I said, I'm saying that with love. It's not my intention. I said, but I don't think divorce is a bad thing. I think divorce can be a really great thing. And obviously our marriage came from his first divorce. And I would love to circle back to after you got divorced, you talked a little bit about kind of having that guilt about the impact that it was having on your family. I think you were living in the basement at the time.
Well, yes, ground floor.
And just talking about trying to keep things in a certain way for the kids. And you had this conversation with your sister-in-law on your podcast about, you know, your ex coming in and out of the house and doing joint things together and not having boundaries and that kind of thing. And I always think that works really well until it doesn't. And you talked about how there had to be some shifts. Can you share a little bit about that? Because I know there's a lot of, say, stepmoms in my community who are in this situation and they have, you know, the exes coming in and out of their house and they're trying to find their place in all of this and the new relationship and just they're struggling.
Well, there's so much guilt attached with, you know, ending a relationship because obviously, you know, it's hard to tell anybody that you don't want to be with them anymore or don't love them anymore. And then when you've got little faces staring up at you as well, then, you know, obviously it's 10 times harder. So you try and sort of bend over backwards to make it all okay for everybody so that you can ease them into what their new reality is going to be. And I actually think it had the opposite effect because nobody won, you know, not the one. I mean, like, you know, the reaction of having to separate everything later, it delayed the process. It didn't make it easier mm-hmm. because the process is hard. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, day one or month six, it's just as hard any time round because in fact, living upstairs, downstairs gave everyone hope that you might get back together, hope that things would, you know, maybe was just like a tiff and when it's not, and you know, it's not. And then you're trying to give normality to the house, which is like, you know, when they move out and you say, okay, well, you can pop back in for breakfast and you can pop back in for dinner. Well, that's a fucking disaster too, because they can't move on and you can't move on because you can't have a guest. you know, your ex-husband just walks in at any given time. But we thought about loads of different scenarios, because obviously with houses as well, you want to give the kids the same house they've had so they don't get uprooted. And then you're like, okay, so I'll rent an apartment. First, we thought that he and I would rent an apartment and then we would just take it in shifts, which was an awful idea. I don't know where that came from, because I'm like, neither of us would own that apartment, if you see what I mean. How do you put your things in it? Because, you know, and then if he'd had a girl there and I'd had a guy there, I mean, how does that work? So then one of us, each week, one of us moves into the big house. The other week we go to that. Then otherwise we leave the kids in the big house. Then you have two apartments. I mean, the whole thing was just, we went through every scenario in our head, which was ridiculous. Of course you can't have three bloody houses. And, you know, it just is what it is. And I should have just started with ripping the Band-Aid off and just saying, this is how it's going to be. But, you know, hindsight is a wonderful thing.
I want to tell you something. There was a time in my life when I would never spend money on pajamas. I don't even think I really had pajamas. I wanted to invest my funds into things that I would wear outside of the house. When I had to buy my first sheet set, I did not understand why someone would invest in anything but the least expensive sheets possible. That was me in my early 20s. Now that I'm in my late 30s, I realize just how wrong that was. Investing in bedding and loungewear and pajamas makes all the sense in the world. My go-to, as you know, is Cozy Earth. From their PJs to their loungewear to their temperature-regulating sheets made from bamboo viscose, Cozy Earth has helped me level up my quality of sleep and how I feel when I'm in lounge mode. The first thing that I do when I get home is either switch into a cozy bamboo jogger set or right into my PJs. Sleeping in my duvet cover and sheet set made from the premium viscose bamboo is like a freaking dream. Temperature regulating sheets are definitely the move. It is no surprise that Cozy Earth has made Oprah's favorite things several years in a row. Their products are next level, and these are the softest clothes that I own. Right now, I'm actually in the process of going through all of my clothes and purging things that don't make me feel or look great. And most of my loungewear is out. I'm all about the Cozy Earth. The best part of the loungewear is that it just doesn't look sloppy. You can totally go out of the house and look completely put together. I even wore a set recording podcasts last week. Now, Cozy Earth has given listeners of the podcast 40% off any purchase with the code COZYJAMIE40. That's CozyEarth.com and use the code COZYJAMIE40 for 40% off. www.CozyEarth.com and use the code COZYJAMIE40 for 40% off. So it's the new year, and while I'm not into New Year's resolutions per se, I'm all about setting intentions. And my intention for 2024 is to look and feel my best. And in order to do that, hydration is key. Personally, I try to have at least 4 40-ounce Stanleys, so like, you know, those big tumblers that everyone's carrying around on Instagram. I try to have about 4 of those a day, and it has changed the way that I feel. But it's not just water in the Stanley. At least one of my tumblers each day has Element Salt in it. Element is my go-to electrolyte drink. I have been drinking it for years. They've been a longtime sponsor of the podcast, and honestly, I'm just obsessed. Now, a growing body of research has revealed that optimal health outcomes occur at sodium levels that are 2 to 3 times the government recommendation. Salt has got a bad rep, but it is not a bad thing. We actually need it. So Element is a delicious electrolyte drink that is formulated to help anyone with their electrolyte needs. And you know, most electrolyte drinks contain sugar and other junk, but Element is different. It has everything you need and nothing that you don't. There are no BS ingredients here. So 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, 60 milligrams of magnesium. I drink it every single day. I drink it in the morning, either before or after a workout, before or after I indulge in cocktails. If I am having a little bit of a hangover, Element definitely helps. I'm actually sipping one right now because sometimes in the afternoon when I want a snack or a coffee, I go for an Element instead. It's kind of like a little treat. I just love the way it tastes, specifically the watermelon flavor. Now, Darren and my stepson Ethan love the lime, but watermelon and raspberry are it for me. So if you are interested in trying Element, go to www.drinkelement.com/kickassstepmom. And if you order through that link, you'll also receive a free sample pack so that you can try all the flavors. So that's www.drinkelement.com/kickassstepmom. And if you order through that link, you're going to get a sample pack with all of the flavors. So this way you can figure out which one you love the most. Proper hydration is key. www.drinkelement.com/kickassstepmom to get a free sample pack with purchase. Now, how was the adjustment to your new relationship after the divorce? Because you guys have the age difference. I love the age difference. And I was actually talking to my husband this morning. I was telling him about the podcast interview, and you were saying you wanted to be with someone younger without the extra, like they have an ex and they have kids and just like all of that stuff that comes with it. Like there's so much perks to being with someone younger. And Darren's like, oh my gosh, yeah. Can you imagine if I had an ex and kids and we're merging all of these families together? Like it's just, it's an extra layer. So I'd love to hear about just the introduction and, you know, just that new chapter.
Look, again, I eased him in and just sort of said he was a friend, which again, when they found out he wasn't, they feel lied to. So it's not a great scenario, but I wanted him to even see what it would be like having kids, because I didn't think Sergio and I would make it, to be fair. He was so young that I was like, look, come and meet my kids as a friend and you're going to see what real life looks like, buddy. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was expecting him to be so far out the door that, you know, it left sort of smoke behind him, but he's still here. You know, May to December relationships, I think they're great because obviously Sergio hasn't been bitten by life. He's not bitter. He's not like got an ex-wife that he's got to pay for. So he's like, oh, you know, and life is just, you know, I hate my job. I hate my ex-wife. I hate my life. That's not him, right? So I've got really somebody that's really, really fun. But on the other hand, I don't know if I would suggest to people 20 years. That's a big age difference. And Sergio is a bit of a unicorn like that. I don't think there are a lot of 24-year-old men that really want to be married to 47-year-old women, even though I am ridiculous and fun. So like, I understand, but I'm still grumpy as hell. I mean, you know, I see my age creeping up. He has to read the menus for me. Today, we went to buy a new car. He wanted a sports car. You know, I ended up buying a Jeep, you know, a high car. All of these things, where the differences come, right? But, you know, at the same time, he loves to take care of me. He just does. But I'm not sure that, as I get said, I think Sergio's a bit of a unicorn. I think probably 10 years is good. 6 years is good. 20 years is a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah.
Because now, of course, he does want kids at some point.
Yeah. It's interesting too, though, right? Because I think, like, did you guys get any comments about the age difference? Like, I know we did. We're 13 years and people make comments about it and have their preconceived notions about like what's happening, like
all the time.
How did you deal with that?
Well, Sergio's a sugar baby. He's only with me for money, which actually when he met me, I was in an 8-year court case. So it was me or the other guy going bankrupt. So at that point there wasn't any money. Mm-hmm. He gets loads of comments about how old I am. Can I move? How does he talk to me? How does my skin feel? Which is just, you know, hilarious to me because first of all, Sergio is the old one. He doesn't even want to go out. Sergio has never seen, like my ex-husband would have seen my gray hair before Sergio does. He doesn't want me to get my Botox or anything. He definitely didn't want me to have my facelift. Like he begged me not to do that. Now I've got it. He loves it, but like it was not him. So, you know, there are pros and cons. Mm-hmm. People have something to say every single day. When I had a rich older boyfriend, I was also a gold digger. So I've never met anyone that starts off well and says all these amazing things about anybody. Mm-hmm. It's just human nature, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Now, when it came to Sergio meeting the kids and developing that relationship, how do you guys deal with any hiccups that come there? Because there are always going to be some sort of hiccups in developing those relationships. Like it's not always all hearts and sparkles.
I don't know anyone that gets hearts and sparkles.
I had a brief period of hearts and sparkles and then shit got real bad.
Oh, okay. Well, he had a brief period of hearts and sparkles when they thought he was my friend.
Yeah.
As soon as they realized that he was taking their father's place in the house, not in life, shit hit the fan. No, they made his life a living hell for quite a while. He wasn't allowed to sleep in my bed, had to sleep in their bed. They just told him every day they didn't want him here, that he's not their father. Like if they were rude to him, they screamed at them, all of these kind of things, you know.
Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that?
Oh, it was really, really difficult. It was really difficult because how do you choose between your son and your husband? You can't, mm-hmm. and you don't want to. If they would call their father screaming that he, you know, he'd shouted at them or whatever, and he hadn't. He's not really a shouter, Sergio. I think anyone that's ever watched him. So then the father would call and go, oh my God, you know, he can't speak to my kids. I mean, it would just turn into a total and utter fucking shit show. So I don't know. Sometimes I stuck my head in the ground, which wasn't great for them, either of them, because I just, you know, couldn't get involved. Then he and my daughter went through quite a tough period. But all I can say is we are 5 years in now, and it is so peaceful and so lovely. And everyone just sort of, I don't have any of those days anymore, but it's taken probably 4 of those 5 years.
Do you think that was just a time thing, or was there anything that you guys did to try to heal those relationships?
No, it was time. It was time, and also teens. You know, I live in the house with 3 teens, very, very different. You know, I think teenagers have a lot of angst anyway, don't they? So whether it was him, like, I mean, I fight with my teens every day. You know, I say it's sunny, they say it's raining. So like, then this, I fucking hate you, mom, slam the door. So I kind of put a lot of it down to that too. I don't know how much was that. And he just got the brunt of it because he's an easy target, you know, and also he's closer to my daughter's age than he is my age. So that's also nuts, you know. So she'd be like, you've got no right to talk to me at all like this and all of this kind of stuff. But I think, you know, they've all just learned to respect each other now, and the boys love him.
I love that, because I do feel like there's just like an adjustment period. There's a grieving period. There's all of this adjusting that has to happen, because I think the, you know, kids didn't ask for any of this. They don't ask for these changes in their life. But on the flip side, I do think as parents, yes, we sacrifice our life for our kids, and it's all about like being there and doing all the things for them. But you're right when you say like, they're going to leave, right? And if you've sacrificed your whole life just to make sure that they're happy and to do everything for them, then what happens?
My daughter's gone. She leaves next year, gone. So there she is moaning that she doesn't want him in the house and doesn't want to be with him. Well, you know, she's moving to America. So, I mean, where am I going? She doesn't want me to come with her, obviously. So I think she sees that now. She's got a whole life, and, you know, I'm not going to be in it for a while. So you can't do it for your kids. You cannot. And it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, to pause your entire life for your children until they're ready for you to have a relationship. They're never going to be ready.
Yeah, for sure. And how old are the boys now?
13.
Is it one boy?
Two.
Yeah. The teenage boys. What do you think were more challenging, teenage girls or teenage boys? I always ask people this.
Girls.
Girls? See, I think
my boys are very easy now. Life just rolls for them. They're not as emotional with me, but I'm sure it will come.
Yeah. We have 16 and 19. So yeah, we definitely have the challenges. Any advice for people dealing with teenagers? Because people are going to be listening to this, because I have a chat room with stepmoms, and a lot of them are just like blowing up about dealing with the teenage behavior and the teenage attitude. And how do you manage life with teenagers?
I literally ignore it.
You just walk away?
I walk away.
Yeah.
I ignore it. I won't have it. I mean, it's like, I'm not going to respond to that. I'm not going to respond to it. I'm not going to allow it to affect my day. You don't want to eat, don't eat. You go hungry. That's it. You want to spend the day in your room. You're not going to play ball, then stay here. I'm going out to have a great day. Goodbye. And they'll snap out of it. When you talk to me like that, nothing else comes.
Everything is just a phase.
It's just a phase. And, you know, you can't give in to it. You cannot. You're in a difficult position because, you know, it kind of has to come from him. Because, you know, teenagers won't accept any discipline from a step parent. I mean, that's just a fact. He cannot discipline my kids. It will go to shit. I can speak like that to them.
Yeah.
And then I can call the father and everything else. He sadly, which is very hard for him, has to walk away. And I would suggest you do the same.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you can't win, because then the mother is going to call up and absolutely lose her shit on you. And that's what was happening to Sergio.
Yeah. And so how did you deal with that in terms of navigating the relationship between Sergio and your ex? And, you know, obviously you need to have your new partners back, but you're trying to kind of like deal with the other parent. What's that like?
Well, I think now, you know, like, I can scream at my kids. Sergio may not, right? Because if I scream at them, I'm the parent, and they can go and say, mom shouted at me, mom told me this to their dad, and he'll be fine because I'm the parent. But if Sergio shouts and they go and say it, he loses his shit. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, he's not the father. He doesn't get, you know what I mean? So I just tell Sergio to hold his breath and I'll deal with it. There's nothing you can do about that because the kids automatically go and cause shit. The first phone call they make is the other parent. Mm-hmm. And actually now my ex-husband actually knows, we know the traits of one of my sons. He's a little bit of a shit stirrer. So he calls each of us and plays one off the other. And now actually Jem has started to stick up for Sergio because like there was one time I think my son threw some keys across a table and, you know, he was running through the house and Sergio just held him back. He didn't hit him and he would never hit him and said, you know, behave and tried to stop him. And he called his father saying he'd hit him. And thank God my driver was there. My housekeeper was there. My assistant was there. And they said he didn't lay a finger on him. Mm-hmm. And actually my ex believed him mm-hmm. and said, I know he wouldn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can have things like that where kids just escalate a situation which isn't there and tries to sort of throw the parent under the bus, which, you know, if you don't know the person or you don't have a strong support system, that's very scary and, you know, really not a great place to be. He used to do it before. And I remember he pulled one of those stunts at my parents' house and thank God my parents were there. And again, called my ex-husband and said, that is not how this went down at all. And, you know, it can put the parent in a really bad situation.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And do you think that his reaction to the call from your son was better because time has passed? It wasn't so fresh?
Yes.
Because at the very beginning, that could be an opportunity, right?
Oh my God, he'd have probably come straight right round and laid him out himself. 100%. Time has passed, and no matter what or whatever his feelings are about Sergio, the age difference, you know, our relationship, how we live our lives, he knows that Sergio wouldn't lay a finger or scream at my children in a, you know, terrible way. That's not how he is. He doesn't scream at me. Why is he going to start screaming at them? You know, mm-hmm. It's just if anyone that's met Sergio, I'm the one with the sharp tongue, not him.
If you were looking at me right now, you would think that I have a sex toy in my hands, but I don't. And while sex is also a great way to help relieve stress and manage anxiety, I'm not holding a sex toy. I'm holding Moonbird. Moonbird is a handheld breathing device designed to comfortably fit in the palm of your hand, and it's like your own personal breathing coach. So in my episode with Ashley Neese on burnout and the power of breath a few weeks back, I talked about how much intentional breathing has helped me feel more grounded and manage my anxiety. Moonbird has been a huge support in this. Right now, while you're listening to this, I want you to stop and just do some breathing. So take a deep breath in for 5 seconds. Out for 5 seconds. And do that like 5 or 6 times, even 10 times. We don't breathe enough. We don't really tap into the power of breath and how calming and grounding it can be. So Moonbird is the world's first handheld device for guided breathing exercises. So there's no need to look at an app. There's no need to count on your own. You just have to breathe. So you hold in your hands and the vibrations in this device guide your breathing. So this helps support people with insomnia or poor sleep and stress and anxiety, ADHD, autism, and burnout. So when you shake the device, it will start inflating and then deflating. So in your hand, it'll feel like you're holding this little bird that's breathing in and out. And the only thing that you need to do is breathe along with the Moonbird. So when it inflates, you breathe in. When it deflates, you breathe out. It's really simple, it's intuitive, and it takes all of the effort and thinking out of your breathing exercises. I find it so calming, and I have been trying to be more intentional with my breathing and regulating my nervous system this year, and Moonbird has been such a support. So you can use it for an afternoon breathwork session in the morning before you start your day or before your meditation or when you're in bed and trying to unwind and fall asleep. You can use it basically anytime you need to stop and really focus on your breath. So to check it out, head to www.moonbird.life and use the code KICKASSSTEPMOM to get $20 off your device. That's
MOONBIRD.life and use the code KICKASSSTEPMOM to get $20 off your device. Incorporating breath work into your life is such a game changer. It's been a game changer for me. I've got Darren on board, teaching Reese to do the same. Seriously, breath is where it's at. That's www.moonbird.life and use the code KICKASSSTEPMOM to get $20 off your device.
How has your co-parenting relationship evolved over time? Like, what does that look like now? Because it sounds like you guys have a good co-parenting relationship. You can kind of go back and forth about stuff for the kids. But how do you separate the feelings?
All we talk about is the kids.
There's no personal relationship, no friendship, no, none of that?
No, we don't do anything else. We only talk about the kids, which I think is really, really important. I mean, like this week, we're talking about Christmas food and things like that, because I'm hosting him at my house, which I always do every year. But we have absolutely no relationship other than the kids. And I think that's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. So he will come for Christmas. Like, what does your holiday look like? We're recording this before Christmas, but it'll come out after. But I think everyone's always interested in hearing.
Sergio, for the last 2 years, has gone home to Spain. Sergio, as anyone knows, is a complete mummy's boy. So it actually works, because Sergio leaves on the 22nd. He comes back on the 26th. My ex-husband comes here on the 25th in the day for the whole day. And then we do, you know, gifts and we spend the day together. And normally I have friends over as well, just to take the edge off. And we have a really nice time. The kids love it. That's it. And Sergio comes back the day later and it works. We've done one Christmas, all of us, with Sergio and my ex. And that also works. They can totally tolerate each other now and get on and be fine. I'm sure they're not best friends, but you wouldn't know. And, you know, I can have an all-out brawl on the phone with my ex-husband and then have dinner with him that night in front of the kids. I have no problem separating it at all.
Mm-hmm. And so did you guys do a lot of joint stuff?
No, not a lot. Birthdays, bar mitzvah was just to happen. Christmas, I invited him for dinner the other night. Actually, he was going to come, but then he had a business dinner. Mm-hmm. Not a lot. No, maybe 4 or 5 times a year, but the kids love it. I'd love to get to a stage where I can go on holiday with him, because that would help a lot. I know it doesn't even have to be in the same hotel. Like if he had his girlfriend and I, you know, just to have, instead of taking this 1 month with me and 1 month with him, that we went to the same place and just the kids went between our homes or the hotel, would be so much easier than the way we're doing it right now.
So what's your vacation schedule now? So they can go with you for a month and go with him for a month?
Yeah. And it's a nightmare because it's 2 months of traveling, 2 months of flights and hotels. And if we just had one joint holiday, it would halve our costs. It makes absolutely no sense, but he's not ready for that yet, I don't think.
I don't know if I would want to go on a joint vacation.
Well, I don't mean, I don't want to lie on the beach together. I can say, and the great thing is, you know, if you go to like, I don't know, Spain or to Ibiza, you just say, my house is here, your house is there, or we'll stay in this hotel. You know, we don't have to be anywhere near each other. And then, you know, today I've got the kids, tomorrow you've got the kids. And that's one joint thing, one set of anything. It's 5 years in. I mean, it's not that deep.
I was picturing like a house all together and like doing all of that. And
no,
I was
one
like,
wants
oh,
to
God,
do that.
Help me.
God, no. I don't want to sit and have breakfast every day. But like, you know, I could do the same hotel even and just go, okay, today is my day. You know, and then we'll meet later and you have them for dinner. It would just be so much cheaper. Honestly, the way we take holidays, you know, I've got 3 children. So that's 3 bedrooms in a hotel. That's 5 flights. And he's got to do the same thing the month after. Mm-hmm. It's nuts. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But, you know, eventually, you know, I hope we'll get there.
Mm-hmm. Now I understand. I was having like a breakout in hives, but thinking about this joint vacation. If you could look back on the whole process of, you know, the divorce and starting that co-parenting relationship and any, you know, mistakes you made there, and then, you know, moving on into the second marriage, what would you do differently? We said hindsight's 2020. What would you have done differently?
Well, maybe not remarried so fast. I lost my alimony.
Oh, shit.
I'm just kidding. Nothing really, because I didn't go full on. I don't regret anything I did. I think I handled it with grace as much as I could, because obviously no divorce is easy and someone always gets hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, you're never going to protect that, because the only reason that you're getting divorced is you've made up your mind, or there's somebody else, or there's, you know, there's a million reasons, but none of them are good. So somebody's always going to end up being hurt. but it's just how you handle it afterwards. I think I did it kindly as I could to both men, because, you know, I also had somebody waiting for me, right? It's not easy. It's just not easy. Lawyers wise, you know, we shared a lawyer. That was amazing. So I think we paid £500 each to get divorced after 18 years, which is something I'm really proud of. Then when we wrote the settlement together, I mean, I'm sure we paid more for the agreement, but we wrote it together and then shared one lawyer. So again, I think just being realistic as a wife, an ex-wife, the pot is the pot is the pot. You can't make the man richer. And I don't know why women seem to think they deserve most of it. No matter what, whoever decides to get divorced doesn't mean they should be financially screwed for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. You know, and I think that comes from bitterness and hurt and all of that. But I think that's a huge, Darren and I talk about this all the time, how we would rewrite the system. Like, we always like, okay, here's how the things should be done when it comes to, you know, child support and spousal support and all of that kind of stuff.
Prenup.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. I remember when we first got together, we were like, not going to do a prenup. And he had done one with his, like, he had just been divorced and he had never done one before. And it was about a week before our wedding. And he was like, I got to have a prenup. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, someone got in his head. I took offense to it. Like, I felt like it was like an attack on me, right? Like attack on my character. But it's so not. Like, there really is no reason why you shouldn't get a prenup. This really is a business arrangement.
It's ego. And Sergio started off feeling like that because it's literally how people have described prenups. But that's not what it is actually at all. It's actually to protect him, protect me, protect my children. You know, like, I mean, there are plenty of things. Sergio should have everything that he came into this relationship with. I don't deserve it. My kids should have every penny that, you know, I get from my divorce from my ex-husband should not go to Sergio if we get divorced. Why? You know, all of these things, you know, and even now we're doing wills because that's completely different. Because if I want to leave Sergio or Sergio wants to leave me, that's one thing. But if I drop dead because of my age, he should also be protected. So I think talking about these things is so important because prenups are there to help you so that there is no, you know, huge fight at the end and this loss of, like, you know, sanity of everyone trying to get everything. I even put it down to my bloody Birkin bags because I want my daughter to have them. Just listing it, everyone kind of knows exactly where they stand. And if the guy doesn't like it and suddenly runs, well, goodbye.
100%. And, you know, we've been talking about estate planning and wills and stuff in my membership. And we had an estate planner come in and talk about the complications and the things that can go wrong when you're in a step family or a second marriage and stuff like that. Like, you have to be so careful about how things are worded.
And I'm here in Sharia law. It's another game. It's like insanity here. So I have to really write it down. I'm doing it at the moment. Otherwise, Sergio would have nothing. He could be with me as long as... but my son would get it all and Sergio would be thrown out.
Oh, so nothing just would automatically go to the spouse?
No.
Interesting.
No, because it would go to my ex and the kids.
Yeah. See, that's why, again, it's important to be doing the work and making sure you have these conversations and set the foundation. So yeah, I'm really glad that you brought that up because it is such an important piece. Now, the last thing I really want to dive into is how you feel this marriage is different, because you've talked about chapter one and chapter two. And I love that. And I love that you talk about how life is in chapters and, you know, you're so proud of that first marriage and everything that you've accomplished. And then this is the second chapter of your life and your second marriage. A lot of stepmoms in my community feel insecure about being the second, and maybe it's not as important as the first and things like that. And I love how you talk about how, like, this marriage is the way you're prioritizing things and doing things a little bit differently.
I think this marriage is exactly who I want to be. I think my first marriage was me playing a role of what I thought a wife should be. I was so young. If I look back now, I didn't know myself. And, you know, when I was 20, whatever it was, 25, I guess, you know, 25 was over the hill for me to start to get married. Everybody, you know, was grabbing their husband. So I was so fucking grateful that somebody asked me. I just turned myself into what I thought I should be, which was like a kind of Stepford wife. And then slowly, slowly, obviously over time, the real me started to come out, which it always will. And until I finally got to a place where I really like myself, I don't feel insecure when I walk into a room or not good enough or like, you know, I'm not normal or I need to be like a mom at a school gates. Like I am so confident and calm and like I'm just a whole new person in this relationship because he makes me like that because, you know, we're not in competition with each other. I can be as nuts or as calm as I want. And I'm genuinely, authentically living my truth of who I am. I say whatever I want to say. And I didn't have the freedom like that before. I mean, I would make stupid jokes at a dinner party, like something like, I don't know, I've got a naughty sense of humor. I'd say something like, I got married so I'd never have to give a blowjob again.
Well, isn't that why we get married?
See? Thank you. There's the humor, right? You get it.
Yeah.
My ex-husband did not have that humor at all. He'd be like, oh my God, you fucking embarrassed me at this dinner. How could you say that? People, you know, people believe you. And I'm like, no, they don't. We've got three kids. Like nobody, it's like a colloquialism. It's like, everybody knows that joke. Mm-hmm. Obviously we have sex.
Yeah.
You know, and I was living on those eggshells. You know, I make stupid jokes about Sergio all the time. And he never has a breakdown ever. Mm-hmm. He just rolls with it and makes a funnier one.
Mm-hmm. He dishes it right back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's so refreshing. That is who I am. I can't change myself to be this, like, I don't want to go to business dinners. I don't want to be the perfect business wife. I'm a reality TV star that says things, crazy shit. I'm now mentoring women. You know, I have the podcast. I'm always going to say crazy shit. Today, I bought a bright yellow Bentley, for fuck's sake. Mm-hmm. Like bright yellow. Banana yellow. And like, no one else would do that because mm-hmm. I don't want to be normal. Mm-hmm. Who the fuck wants to be normal?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I love it. And I think this is such a powerful message for women to just know there's so much power in stepping into who you want to be. Because I think society gives us so many messages on, you know, we need to be married or, you know, it's all about being young and you need to do this by a certain point or whatever. And you know, we're changing the narrative. I was just saying actually on another podcast, I'm so jealous of my stepdaughter and my daughter right now growing up in this time because you have that generation who's like, fuck all of this.
We're still growing up. I'm only halfway through my life. Look at my skin. Look at my, everything is glowing. My wrinkles have gone. I'm just starting again. Like, great. I'm 47, nearly 48 on the, you know, inside, but on the outside, I've got another God knows how long.
Well, you look amazing. And I appreciate you taking the time to come on so much. Where can everyone find the information about this mentorship that you're doing? Because I love this.
It's on carolinesternberry.com. Actually, we're just redoing it all right now. It's going to be completely divorce and sort of coming unstuck, sort of oriented because I was going back to my roots. So carolinesternberry.com and you can DM me. We do classes and one-on-one mentoring. And then you can find me on Caroline Stanbury on Instagram and obviously Uncut and Uncensored mm-hmm. wherever you find podcasts. So come and listen.
Amazing. And we'll link everything for everyone. Thank you so much for taking the time. This has been good.
Thank you.
That's it for this one. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if this episode resonated with you, I'd be so grateful if you could share it with someone in your life who you think could benefit from it. And if you haven't already left a rating and a review on iTunes, it really is the best way to support the show. And if you're craving more real talk and coaching and community, be sure to check out my membership, the Kickass Stepmom Community. Head to www.kickassstepmom.com to learn more.